hour by going into the interview studio with Judith Merriweather.
Joining me in the KRVS studios this afternoon is John Gargano, who is a professor in the visual arts department here at UL Lafayette in the ceramics area. He's a ceramicist, a potter, and he's here to talk about the 10th annual holiday pottery sale that you do with your students. And I know it's become quite a tradition, and a lot of people look forward to that pottery sale. And in fact, I was kind of disappointed when you walked in. Oftentimes you come with some of your students and y'all have come straight from the kilns, and it's that lovely smoky kiln smell that y'all have, because I know you've been working round the clock over there.
Yes.
Yes.
Last night, I don't think the night ever ended for me. But the students are a little worn out, so yeah. I came solo. Some of them are at work, and some of them are probably sleeping.
Well, the pottery sale begins on Thursday and runs through Saturday. So the opening night is Thursday. And before we talk about all those details, tell us about the ceramics area in the visual arts department here at UL Lafayette, the scope of it, and what you instruct your students in.
Well, we begin with obviously the basics and everything from hand building, moving through wheel throwing, and then ultimately it becomes a little more self-directed in the advanced classes. But in terms of the processes, I'm open and I encourage them to use whatever they can. This last semester, we had a student that was doing photo decals, and something that we haven't done yet in my program, and they chose to do that, and so I helped them accomplish that goal. But we'll fire, in terms of the kilns, any temperature range and almost all processes that are possible we're doing in some capacity. So it's a very open program in terms of what you can do. And I don't pigeonhole the students in any one direction. You know, based on the kind of work that I do, I try to let them find their way as well.
And do you teach them both functional ceramics as well as art, or do they just naturally lean towards one kind of pottery?
The great thing about clay is it has that foundation in utilitarian wear, but then there's the whole sculptural side, which we also encourage. So they actually get a little bit of both, but we do concentrate on the aesthetics of vessels and things like that early on, and the elements and principles of design always factor into everything that we do. But it's the great thing is there's so many different ways to work with clay, and I try to get them as exposed as possible.
And one of the ways you do that is in addition to the classes and the studio time that you have here at UL, every year you take them to a conference. It's a professional conference, and that's one of the reasons you have the pottery sale, is to be able to take the students to this conference. Well, what do they learn at that conference?
Well, the conference is it's great because there are lectures, there are live demonstrations from hot professional artists that are in magazines and, you know, that are real current. As well as things that are steeped in tradition in terms of the lectures that go on. There's usually at least 100 exhibitions within the city that's hosting. And then there's also the vendor area, which is a real interesting area because you have all the manufacturers that are there, all the suppliers of the ceramic materials that we use, and then all the graduate schools and other programs that are ceramics related are also there. And it's a great way for students to meet and greet other students from other schools, start to learn about programs that are out there, residencies, and make contacts. And it's a real melting pot because you have academia there as well as people that are just hobbyists. And everybody's grouped together. It's usually about 3,000 people will attend. And it's a wild, you know, Wednesday it begins with a keynote address, and then it shuts down Saturday, and it's intense.
So a really worthwhile experience for your students.
Yeah, it energizes them. They can't wait to get back and make, which is really encouraging for me. And, you know, the best thing is they start getting comfortable thinking about moving on to graduate school. And that's the other point, is to see professional endeavors that they can do, whether it is graduate school or moving on to be a studio artist.
Right. And when is the conference?
That conference will be in March, and it's in Houston this year, which is
Makes it easier to travel there.
Yeah. Yes. Mm-hmm. We've gone far. We've gone to Oregon and other
places
ventures
where there are
like
a lot
that,
of potters.
Arizona. Yes, it moves around.
If you are tuning in, my guest John Gargano is the pottery ceramics professor here at UL Lafayette, talking about their 10th annual holiday pottery sale. And the proceeds from that help the students go to this annual conference this year in Houston that introduces them to professional potters, people who are running graduate programs, and very useful program for them. So this holiday pottery sale involves all of your students as well as yourself. Faculty are involved in this sale as well.
Correct.
Tell us about all the kilns that you all have there and which ones you'll be using for this sale.
Well, for this sale, we have a soda kiln, which is a high-temperature kiln, so we're talking about 2,350 degrees Fahrenheit is where we generally arrive temperature-wise. And then we infuse baking soda and water into the kiln using a sprayer, and that actually will coat and affect the glazes. So it's what we call an atmospheric firing. So the kiln gets to do some of the work. We put the glaze on, but then the kiln has its part.
There's some magic that happens in there.
It is. You have to surrender to the fire.
That's a great phrase.
And then we also have a couple of other traditional gas kilns that we use where we do reduction firings, which are atmospheric as well. But it's all relying on the air-gas mixture. And that's what causes the effects to the glazes and changes the colors of the glazes and things like that.
Mm, and this is what the students and you have been tending over this past week, especially.
Yes.
Yes.
It was a marathon session last night.
Yeah. Well, let's talk about some of the styles and pieces that are going to be in the pottery sale. I'm sure you have students at all different levels working and creating things. And what can people expect to see this year?
Well, it'll be everything from humble cups to more elaborate jars, large bowls, platters. I do, like on the flyer, you'll see a little kind of shooter set. There'll be pitchers, tumblers, mugs, all the functional necessities, jars, casseroles, things like that will also be in the sale. Mm-hmm. There'll be some ornaments. I think some of the students have been making some things that are a little more holiday-related as well, and maybe even a little bit of jewelry. I think one of the students has been making some necklaces and things like that, so...
And I know there are always some really interesting creative sculptural pieces there as well.
Yeah, occasionally I'll pull some of mine out, just things to fill up some space on the table in terms of height. One thing that's a challenge when you have all these pots that are relatively the same height is how to elevate them on the table so that you can see one from the other. So we'll set them up. We'll put some sculptures, some other things on the tables as well. Mm-hmm. That'll be for sale.
Again, the 10th annual UL Lafayette Holiday Pottery Sale, that's going to be in Fletcher Hall, and that's down in the studio. And describe where that is in Fletcher Hall.
Well, it's on the first floor, and it's where the parking area is in front of the building. It's a little horseshoe drive, and when you pull up to the building on the left-hand side, there will be signs that will point you toward that door. We usually have Christmas lights illuminating the windows. Luckily, we have windows that face out.
Right.
And it's right there, and there'll be someone there to meet you and greet you.
And the nice thing is that the semester has finished, and so parking is a little easier on campus.
Correct. We usually do it during finals week, but I decided to play it smart and not overwork myself.
And I'm sure your students appreciated that too.
Yes.
As well. So you always have an opening night, and there's kind of a lot of excitement. A lot of people show up on that night. That's this Thursday.
Correct.
So what are the hours?
That will begin at 7 p.m. The doors will open. The herd will charge. We'll run till 10 p.m., and we usually have refreshments and some snacks. But it gives
cider, like hot cider.
Yes, that's one of our main draws, I think.
That's that lovely smell, again, of that kiln and cider there. It's a wonderful mix.
Mm-hmm. So we'll have that cooking.
All right. So that's the opening night of the 10th annual UL Lafayette Holiday Pottery Sale put on by the students in the ceramics program, as well as their professor, John Gargano, who is with me here in the studio. And then the sale continues through Friday and Saturday.
Correct. Mm-hmm. So we'll run from 10 a.m. to 6 p.m. Friday and Saturday.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, I know a lot of people show up on that Thursday, but what some people don't realize is that you keep pulling things out of the kiln, don't you?
Well, hopefully it'll all be out because we loaded the last everything last night.
Well, that is a good...
And that gives us... That's why we kind of push the sale because normally if it's last week, we were always pulling things out hot. Mm-hmm. And this way we have a little bit of buffer time so they can cool down and everything be ready.
All right. Well, that was a really good decision then.
Yeah.
So Thursday is truly the opening night. And if you can make it, it's a great evening to go. And it's going to be a little chilly. You can smell that that hot cider in the ceramic studio in Fletcher Hall. Again, John Gargano is the ceramics professor. And we were asking how many people are involved in the sale. And he goes, nine. And so it's the nine potters potting night there.
Yes.
Students and professors. And again, lots of functional pottery as well as more creative pottery will be there also. Describe what the kind of pottery that you do, the ceramics that you do, John.
Well, it's fairly traditional, mm-hmm. What I do, but I pull a little bit from my actual sculptural work. So I've been making these grenades and in terms of my sculpture, and I've brought that into some of the pots just in terms of form and some of the bumps or raises that are on the surface to just kind of alliterate the grenade.
Mm-hmm. So you're going to have some of those at the sale?
Yes,
well.
I will.
Well, it's interesting when you talk about the surfaces and the glazes. What sort of glazes do you all use? I think that's always mysterious to people who have not worked with pottery.
Yeah, it's an interesting process because what you see when you glaze the piece is not what you get when it comes out of the kiln. Mm-hmm. So you have a big change in terms of what the material is that you're working with. And they're very traditional in terms of some of the glazes have been around for ages, and then some are a little more contemporary in terms of more wild colors, mm-hmm. That we'll get. But the kiln also imparts on it. So you have an idea of what it will be, but you never know, mm-hmm. in terms of location in the kiln and what the kiln does as well.
Well, are there some favorites among the students of glazes this year? I'm sure that changes. It's sort of like fashions.
Yeah, we have a glaze called Staley's Red to Green, which is a new glaze that we've brought in, and it goes kind of a green bottle, green color to red. And it just depends on how the kiln treats it as to where it will go red.
All right. So that's perfect for Christmassy.
Yeah, it's a little a little holiday.
When you said that you have also some of the more traditional glazes, what are those?
Like Tenmo and Temaku, which are Japanese-based glazes, and they're traditional black glazes that break a rust color over edges and the lips, mm-hmm. and things like that. You'll see that change in color. And that's a real traditional type of glaze.
Mm-hmm. And they use that on all kinds of pieces, bowls, plates, vases?
Yeah, it depends on the markings that you have on the piece. So if you have throwing rings or hard lines, you'll get that change in color, and that's sometimes the real beauty of the glaze. You want to work with it when it's like that. If it's a very smooth, continuous surface, you do not see the breaking as much.
Mm-hmm. So ones with interesting surfaces and rims, you see that color come out more often. And you mentioned earlier the soda kiln. Describe for people who have not seen pieces coming from a soda kiln what kind of effects you can have.
Well, it's interesting because the flame pattern in there, as well as the soda that's moving around, kind of draws marks on the pieces. And you will see, you'll get this kind of flashing that's kind of a rosy orange color. That will appear, and sometimes it's underneath, sometimes it's on the body of the piece. The pieces can go in without a glaze on them, and the baking soda that's in the kiln will actually form that glaze, as well as the flashing. Some of the clays that we use are responsive to that, and we target those clays to be raw in the kiln, mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. when we do that.
So some interesting pieces we'll get to see on Thursday.
Oh, yeah.
Not only interesting to acquire, but just to see what you're talking about, the different glazes and the techniques that the students are using and learning in the program.
Yeah, our goal is obviously to boost the aesthetics of the students, but as well as the public. Mm-hmm. So we encourage people to come pick them up. I mean, they're objects for use. They're not to go on your shelf and sit there. You should use it. That's what it was designed for.
Absolutely. If you are tuning in, we're talking about the 10th annual UL Lafayette Holiday Pottery Sale. John Gargano is with me in the studio. He is the professor of ceramics in the visual arts department here at UL, and his students have been busily packing the kilns and unpacking them and getting ready for the sale, which opens this Thursday and will run Friday and Saturday. And again, that's in Fletcher Hall. So it's there's no fee to get in, so you can go in and just take a look at all the pottery if you like, and then of course you can buy it as well.
Correct.
If you want to. And it will help the students go to the annual conference, which is the National Council on Education of the Ceramic Arts annual conference, and that will be in Houston this year in March. So it helps the ceramic students here at UL, and graces all of our homes and tables as well.
Yes.
Well, thank you, John, for all of your work with them and for allowing us to see these works and also to acquire some
Great.
Of them. Thank you.
Thank you for your support, Judith. Mm-hmm. Appreciate it.
With me in the KRVS studios is Colin Miller with the Performing Arts Society of Acadiana, here to talk about Siok Chinwa, which will be in Lafayette on Friday. And I know a lot of people who have been looking forward to this, Colin, a lot of kids especially who are taking gymnastics and acrobatics, and anyone who's ever seen Cirque du Soleil is looking forward to this performance.
Yes, absolutely. Thank you for having me. The Chinese circus, actually specifically this troupe, which is the National Circus of the People's Republic of China. That's a mouthful. but they're a great troupe, and apparently one of the longest running in China. And in the past, PASA has had some sort of Chinese cirque performances that have been pretty successful for us. And in that tradition, you know, we're bringing Cirque Chinwa here this Friday evening at 7:30 p.m. That's December 14th at the Hyman Center. And you can order tickets at Ticketmaster.com. or by calling the Ticketmaster number, which I don't have right in front of me.
people can find that. Well, describe the performance that they're going to be doing. I'm sure you all have seen some video pieces of what they're going to be doing.
It's
very colorful.
Yeah. Well, and I went on, some of the costumes are gorgeous. It's been quite a bit of time online looking for videos, and I did get a video from the company. The thing was that it was a very specific performance with it. That's a different, the staging was set up differently than the Hyman is set up. So I never got exactly
describe for us what kinds of things they do.
Well, you know, they do some of the traditional things that you would, you know, expect from a cirque, like ring diving and juggling or contortion or whatever. But there are some acts that that the company, or actually this troupe, is known for. And the titles are very interesting. And what I love about, because I'm also designing the program for this, and I love some of the sections and some of the titles that you can tell are like these awkward but very, you know, direct translations, like Group Contortion of Girls, Power Hand to Hand.
Very descriptive.
But, right.
Rather than poetic.
Right. Head Balance with Bowls. Let's see. Plates Spinning, which is actually a really interesting balancing act with a whole number of people who are balancing on one another and spinning plates and moving around. And but yeah, there'll be acrobatics and all kinds of interesting stuff. Everywhere from that to magic and the grand bicycle. I don't know exactly what that is, but I'm excited to see.
Yes. And again, the lovely piece that you all have created to accompany it. I would go just to see this one particular performer in that lovely, lovely costume. Very dramatic.
I love it, yeah.
Cirque Chinwa, and again, as you mentioned, it is the National Circus of the People's Republic of China, has a very long history in China, training performers for many decades in China. And everyone knows of the quality of those performers. And certainly there are many actors that we know very well who came out of, like, the opera, the organizations like the National Circus, people like Jackie Chan coming out of these performance-based organizations where they started as very, very young children.
Yeah, that's actually true. I'm glad you mentioned that. That is where a lot of great Chinese performers and actors that we know of kind of got their start. Speaking of training, the National Circus of the People's Republic of China, this troupe had been asked to train some of the performers in Cirque du Soleil when Cirque du Soleil was first getting started. They're also one of the troupes, and, you know, I'm always very hesitant to say that a particular group or company or whatever founded a certain thing or a certain technique or a way of doing things, simply because usually those things really come out of a whole bunch of people sort of doing different variations, and then a trend, you know, comes out of that, and you know that from being around music. But the sort of the non-animal circus, as we think of, you know, the circus that includes lots of animals, but simply the circus that is just, you know, human performers, that sort of thing.
Spectacle of costumes and human movement.
Exactly, exactly. This is one of the troupes that helped originate that, you know, trend that we see today.
Mm-hmm. Inspiring organizations like Cirque du Soleil.
Cirque du Soleil, yeah.
Well, and we can see them here in Lafayette. Again, my guest, Colin Miller, is with the Performing Arts Society of Acadiana, PASA, and they are continuing their season and bringing this very, very festive performance as their holiday offering for all of us here in Acadiana. It's one performance only. Are there any education, any school performances?
Not this time. We have received questions about that.
Okay. So if you have young people, children who would like to see this performance, it's not going to be in the schools for the schools. So this performance on Friday is where they'll need to see it.
Right. Yeah. Friday evening at 7:30 p.m. And there'll be some martial arts as well. I'm excited. So anyone who's interested in martial arts should come out.
As a part of their performance
right,
on
Friday.
Yeah. And is this something they have as a part of their regular performance? I mean, it's just...
I believe so. I see kung fu and a couple other things when I was working on the program.
So. All right. So all kinds of children can appreciate it. Well, all of us can appreciate this performance.
Absolutely.
But certainly, sometimes, you know, there are a lot of young boys who are in acrobatics and gymnastics here, but many of them might think, oh, that's not something I'd want to see with pretty costumes, but there is martial arts.
Yeah.
So really, really great reason to go and see that. Tell us how people can get tickets for the performance.
You would, if you were interested in buying tickets to Cirque Chinois, you would go visit Ticketmaster.com. And actually, there is a, I'm pretty sure it's still running. It's a 20% off ticket discount. Mm-hmm. And use the code TMNTX.
Okay. And, of course, people can find out more at your website as well.
That's correct, yeah.
Okay. Now, what do y'all have coming up? I know this is kind of ending the fall season, but you start off in the springtime with some great performances.
Right. Well, we have the singer-songwriter series that we just had Darden Smith, and that was about a week and a half ago. He gave an awesome performance at ACA. The next one is February 16th at ACA, and that is Suzanne Vega. And then March 1st, we have David Wilcox, also at ACA. And that completes the singer-songwriter series. Then we have a couple more main stage series productions. Boz Gags is a special event at the very end. But just today, we publicly announced a performance that will be a duo, a performance by Mary Chapin Carpenter and Sean Colvin on stage at the Hyman Center, an acoustic performance.
Well, certainly two performers very well known to KRVS audiences.
Absolutely,
been
yeah.
Been playing their music for a long time.
Yeah, and they'll be playing together at the Hyman on February 27th, not too long after our Suzanne Vega performance at the ACA.
All right. Well, more information on that at the PASA website as
Absolutely.
Well. Absolutely. Colin Miller from PASA here talking about Cirque Chinois, which will take place this Friday, one night only, at the Hyman Performing Arts Center, and that is the National Circus of the People's Republic of China. And you can probably search out some images or videos of what to expect. And if you get a chance to pick up one of their wonderful flyers, it's got a beautiful photograph of one of the performers. Very yeah. nice. Good work on that.
Thanks. Colin. Yeah, as someone who does the graphic design for PASA, I feel very lucky to have the kind of images that we've received
yes.
From this Cirque troupe.
Very, very colorful season. Really great material to work with. Well, Colin, thank you so much for all y'all's work at PASA. And,
thank you for having
for letting
me.
Us know about Cirque Chinois. Again, this Friday at the Hyman Center, PASAonline.org for further information.
Thank you,
Colin.
Thanks.
KRVS Lafayette, Lake Charles.
Now a look at what's happening in the arts and culture in South Louisiana. The Center for Louisiana Studies continues its backyard series this evening at Vermilionville in the cooking school. The presentation is called Evolution of Cajun and Creole Cooking, Creole Turtle Bisque. Chef Pat Mould and Barry Ancelet will be cooking turtle bisque and talking about a cuisine in Louisiana and their experiences and taking questions and stories from the audience. It is a free program. It starts at 6:30 this evening at Vermilionville in the cooking school. All are invited to attend. Wanderlust Theater Company presents We All Do, an original piece by Jaron Schechsnyder. It opens tomorrow evening at Theater 810, December 12th. It will run through Saturday the 15th. Those performances are at 8 o'clock, and on Sunday there will be a 3 p.m. matinee. Theater 810 is in downtown Lafayette at 810 Jefferson Street. For information, you can go to Wanderlust Theater, their website or their Facebook page, and tickets are available through the Eventbrite site, wealldo.eventbrite.com. The UL Lafayette Ceramics area in the Visual Arts Department will hold its 10th annual holiday pottery sale, opening this Thursday and running through Saturday in Fletcher Hall. That's at 421 East Lewis Street on the UL Lafayette campus. On Thursday, the sale is from 7 until 10, on Friday from 10 in the morning until 6, and on Saturday as well. All proceeds will help the ceramic students here at UL Lafayette to go to the annual ceramics conference in Houston. The Acadiana Symphony Orchestra will present their holiday concert this Thursday, December 13th, with Sunny Landreth and a children's chorus, Acadiana Sings, for their Louisiana Christmas concert. That's this Thursday. Tickets available through their website or through the Hyman Performing Arts Center. Itinerant Theater in Lake Charles presents staged readings, and they will have their first one this Thursday, December 13th, the comedy Candida. That staged reading will be at the Attic Theater at Central School Arts and Humanities Center this Thursday, 7 o'clock. For more information, you can go to their website, which is Itinerant Theater. There will be a master acting workshop at Cité des Arts December 13th through the 19th, taught by NYU Professor Caroline McGee. For more information, you can call Cité des Arts. Cirque Chinois will be at the Hyman Performing Arts Center, presented by PASA. Cirque Chinois is the National Circus of the People's Republic of China. PASAonline.org for more information. The UL Press Holiday Book Sale continues this Saturday, December 15th, in Grand Coteau from noon to 3. There will be some of the authors and UL Press books at Casa Azul in Grand Coteau this Saturday from noon until 3 o'clock. For more information, you can go to the UL Press website. And old-time Christmas celebration will take place at Vermilionville Saturday, December 15th from 10 a.m. to 4 p.m. For more information, stop by the Vermilionville website, bayouvermiliondistrict.org. The Pandemonium Theater Group presents The Life and Adventures of Santa Claus by Pat Cook, based on a book by Frank L. Baum, who wrote The Wizard of Oz. That's this Friday and Saturday evenings at 7 and on Sunday at 2 o'clock in Crowley at the Grand Opera House of the South. A special presentation of Harpists will be taking place this Sunday, December 16th, from 6 to 9 p.m. at Acadian Village for the Christmas Lights program. They won't have their annual Harps and Bells concert this year, but they will have a number of harpists at Acadian Village this Sunday from 6 to 9 p.m. Dr. Mark Lentz, who is a professor in the history department at UL Lafayette, will give a lecture on the Maya, the Mayan calendar called Timeline of the Maya, on Monday. He did one last night at the North Regional Library, and will give the lecture again on Monday the 17th at the South Regional Library from 6:30 to 7:30. And the Stage Monkeys of Lafayette present a special holiday show in ugly sweaters at Theater 810, Wednesday, December 19th at 7:30 in downtown Lafayette. The Acadiana Repertory Theater and the ACA present Ben Jolivet's play Carol, A Broken Chain. It's an adaptation, a modernization of Dickens' A Christmas Carol. That will be at the ACA December 20th through the 22nd. And we'll be speaking with Stephen Landry from the Acadiana Repertory Theater next week on Monday about Carol, A Broken Chain. And for a listing of programs on KRVS, please stop by our website, krvs.org, clicking on the schedule button. You can podcast many of our locally produced programs. Just search for the program you enjoy and would like to listen to. You can listen to archived material there or download it for listening to later on. Stay tuned to KRVS this afternoon and evening. We're with NPR's All Things Considered from 4 until 6. From 6 to 7, Terry Gross hosts Fresh Air. At 7 o'clock, it's From the Top. At 8, we've begin our evening of locally produced jazz, beginning with John Green's Night Train Jazz, and at 10 o'clock, Passport to Modern Jazz, hosted by Djalma Garnier. In just a moment, we join NPR's All Things Considered.
Terry Gross, the host of NPR's Fresh Air. You can wake up to a collection of the week's best Fresh Air interviews and reviews on Saturday mornings. Join us for Fresh Air Weekend from NPR, Saturdays at 6 a.m., right here on KRVS 88.7 FM, Lafayette, Lake Charles.